Chapter 3, Why Play an RPG? So, Chad, what did I see in the window?
Well, I already spilled the beans that this was a werewolf story, so I guess you see a big hairy werewolf staring at you.
And you know what? Actually, that does lead right into our next question, which is why play an RPG? And part of it is for the excitement of challenging each other with a story you don't expect, which we just kind of ruined on this one because we said from the start, this is going to be a story with a werewolf in it.
Yeah.
But I may have sat down and not known that from the beginning. If you've ever watched a movie or read a book where some big plot twist comes along that you didn't expect and changes everything, it's a really exciting part of the story. Mm-hmm. And within role-playing games, that's something that we challenge each other with all the time. But that is far from the only reason to play a role-playing game.
Right, right.
In fact, I think the biggest one is one that has nothing to do with the game itself.
Really?
Social interaction.
Indeed. Indeed. I think that is probably one of my main reasons for playing a role-playing game and doing this hobby. Unlike a video game where you sit behind a computer or console or whatever and you play by yourself, or even if you're playing some massive online role-playing game with thousands and thousands of people at the same time, you're still in that room by yourself.
Right.
That's what I like, is you have FaceTime with your friends.
Exactly. The great thing about a role-playing game is you get a bunch of your friends together in one place. You sit down around one table with nothing but a few pieces of paper, a few pencils, some dice, looking at each other, talking to each other, enjoying each other's company.
Right.
And from the moment you sit down to the moment you leave, you are talking to each other. You're never just passively stopped and watching to see if the wide receiver catches the ball, yeah, or trying to focus on, you know, you hit X, so you crouch down and sneak around the corner, right, to pwn the noobs on the other side. You're always working with each other.
You know, another thing that I really like about role-playing games that I think is one of the big advantages of why you would want to play one is the escape. And you know, I'm not a type of person to kind of run from reality, but both Dan and I are IT guys, and you know, we have normal jobs and a normal life and stuff. We will never, ever, ever come face to face with a werewolf.
Right.
Except in a role-playing
game. Absolutely. And yeah. I do want to stress something that Chad said there in passing, which is when we talk about escape, we're not talking about some kind of psychological distress where you're avoiding reality completely.
You're just avoiding reality a little bit.
It's no different than if you pick up a book.
Yeah.
You get really deep into the book. It's the exact same sort of thing, that you're looking for some kind of a momentary escape from the stresses of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes me to my next point, which is that creativity, interactivity, the infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
You get to try out so much stuff. In a video game, you get to a point in the game, there's only so many different things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a certain dialogue tree. There are certain buttons you can press. In a TV show, movie, or book, there's nothing you can do.
It really does get back to Sesame Street. It's all about the imagination. It's all about how far that the imagination of the game master can take you and how far that your own imagination can take you. In role-playing games, I have been everything from a robot killing machine in the future to a noble religious paladin in the you know, medieval times, to, you know, a vampire hunter in modern day.
It's
to anything.
A great way to express yourself creatively, as well. As someone, in my case, I'm kind of a wannabe writer. This gives me a chance to tell stories that even if I can't get a novel done and out there, I can still sit down, play around. What would a world be like if this happened?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell that story to my friends and get instant feedback and instant interaction.
Usually we tell them it's absolutely terrible.
It's all crap. But right. Exactly.
Nobody wants it.
Empathy.
Yeah.
That's another big one. Not you telling me everything of mine is crap, because that has no empathy whatsoever.
Yes.
But one of the points of a role-playing game that we want to stress, it's called a role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
You play the role of someone else.
Right.
Typically, the character in the story is not you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if I was to write a novel that has a bunch of people in it, if I'm a good writer, none of those characters is me. They might represent some part of me or be an extension of me, but it's not me in the story. And the same thing's true in a role-playing game. So let's say that in my life, I have certain things going for me that, you know, let's use real ones. I have a good, stable job right here in middle class America. Well, what would it be like to grow up in a much more disadvantaged situation?
Right.
Or what would it be like to live in a place where people struggle with things that I don't struggle with on a daily basis, or have personality quirks I don't have?
Or be from a foreign country or a foreign world.
And it challenges you to see life from so many different perspectives that normally you'd have no need to. But in these role-playing games, you suddenly find yourself saying, in real life, that was an easy choice. But now that suddenly I'm on the other side of this equation, it's not so easy anymore. Yeah. I understand what it's like to be this kind of person.
That's the challenge of a role-playing game, is that you create a character and your character isn't you. It's a facet of you, sure, but it really isn't you, and it wouldn't make that they wouldn't make the decisions that you make under the circumstances that you're in. So when you're faced with a hard choice, you don't think about, man, it's like, what would I do? Would I, you know, dive in front of the gun? Would I jump on the grenade? Would I stop the bank robber? Would I do this? No, you ask yourself, what would my character do? You made a history for him and a background and all this personality and stuff. What would he do different in this situation? That's what you do in a role-playing game. You use our werewolf analogy. Dan, if you, Dan, were walking through the woods in the middle of the night, would you go up to a strange cabin and peek in through the
window? Yeah, absolutely not. But maybe the character I'm playing would.
Yeah.
You know, and your character, he may be better than you, worse than you, or just different than you. And it really gives you a chance to explore that. Something else, and I'm going to have to explain this one carefully, because this could startle a lot of people when I say it. Math skills.
Whoa.
All right. Now, if you're not very good at math, don't let this turn you off, because there are games out there that have a wide variety of complexities of the math to them.
Let me tell you, Dan is a math guy, really good at math. I am not in any way a math
guy. And yet we can still successfully game together all the time. So why is there math in a role-playing game, and what is the math used for? Well, we've already said that the person in the role-playing game, the character, is not you.
Right.
The second thing, we talked about this in the last chapter, that as a way of trying to be fair about certain events, we use random decision makers. Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of the coin flip, the heads or tails, that was real easy. 50-50. I might, one half I succeed, one half I don't. But let's now take a different situation. Let's say that a really big, oafish, clumsy couch potato is trying to sneak up to the cabin from one direction, and a Navy SEAL is trying to sneak up from the other direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that still a 50-50 chance?
The 50-50 chance here is not fair anymore. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is we have to find some way of saying, okay, comparatively, the big clumsy couch potato, maybe on a, let's say, of a scale of a 1 to a 10, he might have a agility or dexterity or nimbleness or whatever you want to call it of like a 3 versus the Navy SEAL, who has a 9. So maybe the SEAL has a 9 out of 10 chance of succeeding, whereas the clumsy guy has a 3 out of 10 chance of succeeding, which is not to say when you throw those dice down, the Navy SEAL could trip over a bottle while the clumsy guy successfully slips his way up there, just because that's the way life works.
And this is a challenge for the game master. Big clumsy oafy guy just made his stealth roll, which is he succeeded in doing the stealth thing. How am I going to describe that? This guy is huge and clumsy and falls on his face. Now I have to describe him like a ninja? Nah, that's where I have to be creative.
Absolutely. But, you know, life is full of all kinds of unlikely things occurring. Great big professionals screwing up, and clumsy, bumbling people.
Oh,
just
I would have the Navy SEAL guy step on a bear trap. That's just me. But,
but you know, the point being that that kind of math will have to enter into the game, because you want some way of fairly representing the differences between people. And so you will end up using some amount of math as you play these games. But once again, let that scare you. The last reason that I want to throw out here, just kind of as a general thing on why you might want to play a role-playing game, is quite frankly, it's a harmless hobby. And for those of you that are freaking out at that, we've got a chapter coming for you on objections to role-playing games. But
are you saying it's not football? I won't break my collarbone playing a role-playing
game? Well, what I mean more than that is, you know what? You're sitting around a table with a bunch of guys or girls socializing, using empathy, using math skills. You're not out drinking and
robbing
banks and getting yourself in trouble.
Because, you know, robbing banks is a very casual hobby.
Yeah, it's fairly common out there. Pretty much anyone who doesn't play role-playing games is robbing banks.
That's right.
But, you know, the point being, it's just a good, wholesome hobby altogether.
It is. It's all about math and storytelling and friends.
So, Chad, briefly, why do you personally play a role-playing game?
I love games of all sorts. I love video games and board games and that sort of thing. And I guess I'm just compensating because I was an only child. And I just want to surround myself with friends and have fun. And I didn't get to do that as a kid. Oh, a little tear. Oh, no. But I just really love socializing. And I love board games. I love games and that sort of thing.
For me, it's two things. One is the creativity. I mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. I've got stories rolling around in my head. I want to get out. And I love to tell those stories to other people. And of course, in this case, let them interact back with those stories. But that for me is a really big thing. The other thing is I just love to entertain people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play a
role, he's got a clown nose on right now.
Absolutely. And when you play a role-playing game, whether you're a player or you're the game master, you are doing stuff to contribute to the fun and the energy level and all that stuff of the people all around you.
This is one of those hobbies where when you have a good night, when you have a really great game, you're talking about it for hours after. When the game ends and everyone's going home, you're walking out of your friend's house, down the driveway, talking to the other friend. That was great. That cool thing you did and that neat things we saw. And look at all this stuff we did together. And what's going to happen next?
And you know what the best part is? And I'm not going to say this to down other hobbies, but I want to leave this as a closing thought on what the best part is everything that occurred was yours.
Yes.
If you go see a great football game and have a wonderful time, you didn't play anything in the game.
Yeah.
You sat in the stands.
That's not to say it isn't fun.
Right. Not to say it's not fun. Not to say it's a bad thing. But you had nothing to do with it. If you watch a great movie, read a great book, even if you play a great video game, you may have had some involvement, but ultimately you're in somebody else's sandbox. But when you walk away from a role-playing game, almost everything that was done was the original creation or spontaneous action of someone at the table, and you have no one but yourselves to congratulate for the great time that you had.
That's right.
This has been a production of Fear the Booth, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to fearthebooth.com.